And it's 7 past 11 on this Monday edition of Winners. Let's review all the feature action from the weekend. And joining us from the Trial Files is Matt Welsh. How are you, Matt?
Very well, Nadia. How are you?
Extremely well. What a great weekend it was. Of course, we had a good program locally at Caulfield, but all eyes are on what was happening in Queensland at Doomben with the running of the 10,000 and also over in Adelaide with the derby there at Group 1 level.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good 10,000. Tim Clark with a fabulous ride on English, I thought. Saved plenty of ground just in behind the speed, which was set by Red Zell. There were a couple of unlucky runners or flashing light runners, I suppose, in behind in Impending, who really got home strongly. And also Care to Think, who wasn't really ridden out in the run to the line, made good late ground. I think he's certainly a horse to follow going forward as we head to the further Group 1 features up in Brisbane. Dark Dream was really impressive in winning the Rough Habit Plate and is now a reasonably short price favourite for the Queensland Derby. And we also had the Roses as well, over 2,000 metres, and that was another very impressive winner there. So, look, good racing up in Queensland. I think the winner was Youngster there, of course, of the Roses. But Nadia, over in Adelaide, we saw the running of the SA Derby taken out by Leicester. Your thoughts on the program there?
Look, I think the track played particularly well. It's interesting, you know, a lot thought that they were walking in the Derby, but, you know, the early times have come through and they're only 1.6 lengths below par. So it wasn't like they were going at an overly quick speed, but what they really did was sprint home. Look, their last sectional, I've got the field sort of going 10.5 lengths above par late, so they really sprinted home, and that was probably the main reason why it was so hard for those to come from behind those leading horses.
And just on the Derby compared to the Oaks last week, what did you think of the strength of the two different races? Obviously, they're over different distances. The Derby over 2,500, the Oaks last week over 2,000 metres. What did you make of the strength of those two races, those two features we've seen in Adelaide over the past fortnight?
Well, it's an interesting analysis, isn't it? Of course, it's always been known a bit as a three-year-old carnival, this Adelaide carnival. We saw what come through out of the Oaks last week with Darren Weir's horse to the fore in Suppressor, who was very impressive in winning. But look, I think these boys have got a lot of upside. Like, you look at a horse like Leicester, he looks like he's adaptable. We've seen him ridden back in the past. He's obviously a big track horse, but to run those type of numbers late was simply outstanding. And you've also got a horse like Runaway, who the stable have got a massive opinion on, who was able to go forward, but he still ran very good closing sectionals over the concluding stages to finish where he did. And the local horse in Tropical Lightning was equally as impressive. So, look, the Derby field, they did sort of have a bit of class, and they look like they are horses that are going to go on with it. If you have a look at what they did in the Oaks, just in comparison to their lead tempo, look, they didn't go hard in the Oaks going back the week prior. I've got them sort of going a minus 3.8 early, and they really didn't sprint home that quickly, where the leaders sort of gone just at a par tempo. And just having a look the way that the winner has been able to perform. Look, Suppressor has sort of only gone 3.7 lengths above par. So clearly they've sprinted home a lot better in the Derby on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought that was a big run by one Runaway up on speed. He looked like he was going to get run over by 1-1-2, who challenged him at the 300-metre mark, but kicked on strongly. And that was on the back of a really strong 2,800-metre race at Flemington. So I think even the further, the better for a horse like Runaway next preparation.
Well, I know that the stable are already talking Melbourne Cups with him, so that just gives you the type of thought that they do have. He's tough, and he's only going to get better with age on his side. So he's also been nominated for the Andrew Ramsden on Saturday at Flemington, so it'll be interesting to see whether they decide to back him up there. But no, he's definitely a horse who's got really good talent, and he's come such a long way in a short time. He's on-speed runner who can do it at both ends, and I think that's the most impressive part about him.
Yeah, typically tough. Gay Waterhouse trained on speed horse. The other race I took note of on Saturday particularly was the Guineas. Peaceful State was smashed in betting, $1.90 into $1.70. Got there, narrow victory, came from the tail of the field along with Overexposure, who ran the Quinella. I thought the runner Circoni up on speed, without looking at any numbers, they looked to be rolling along at a decent tempo. What did the numbers say, and what did you think of the race?
Look, the numbers have come back interesting. Look, I've got them going sort of a minus 3.8, but that's for the class over the track and journey at the track. So, look, they were only going staying at a moderate tempo, even though they were, looked like they were going at quite a strong speed. And interesting having a chat to Steve Baster after the race. When the roughy went up onside, it looked like there was putting pressure on, but he was at the opinion that, you know, it really didn't force him to go much quicker than what he really wanted to do. So Ciccone was still a very good run under the circumstances, because they have broken par over the concluding stages and had that kick and looked like, you know, he was going to hold on over the final stages. But we know Peaceful State's a talent, and he's still very raw. Look, he could easily go ahead and leap some bounds with a bit more age on his side, but he does need a big track, because he's got that action where he needs a bit of room in the run.
And just another winner we saw on Saturday, one I labelled the best maiden winner of the week last week. I must admit, I only heard or noticed he was running in Adelaide as they came to the 600-metre mark in I Am Someone for Paul Pruska. Took out race two. Race four, the sires, was taken out by Tequila Time from Fundamentalist. Was there anything else on the card that stood out as a horse or race that we need to follow going forward?
Be interesting to see also when we do get the adjusted numbers through for this meeting, because it seems to be those races which were run out of the chute down those sprint races, the early speeds were enormous. Like, you've got the first, which was over 1,200, and the raw data's got them going 13 lengths above par. That race you'd speak of, I Am Someone, 17 lengths above average, and even the sprint final, the last over 1,100, going 9.4. So gives you that impression that maybe that shoot was quite quick. But you must be taken with what I Am Someone has been able to do. As you mentioned, he did rate very well through what he was able to do in the maiden, but for him to come out and win in a pretty strong race. Look, these are horses who we've seen competitive at metro level, if not in Adelaide, over the border. It was quite a big performance.
Was there any wind on Saturday that might have explained that, those fast early times? I know at Caulfield we had a strong southerly out of the sprint shoots there. Was there any wind in at Morfordville?
Not really enough that was playing a real vital factor that would have made them sort of run along at that type of a quick tempo. So it'll be interesting to see, look, how the final numbers just get adjusted.
Yeah, so great days racing in South Australia there, with Leicester taking out the Derby. At Caulfield, we had a soft 6 track on Saturday. I thought it raced a little bit more like a soft 5, so track dried excellently after what was suggested to be apocalyptic rains leading up. That didn't eventuate. There was no rain on race day. That strong southerly was a factor. Nadia, the first was a 2-year-old race over 1,100 metres. Rock Hard was extremely well backed once betting got serious. I noted when I was on air on Saturday, he was about $2.80. That was about half an hour, 40 minutes before the race. He was backed into $2.30. Extremely well backed favourite. The first starter, the expensive first starter in Triumfio, was a noted drifter, $7.50 out to 13.
What did you make of the winner though, Rockhard? Were you impressed with his effort?
Look, it was a good win. They went out very hard here, as I said, with the aid of that southerly wind. They've gone above average tempo early, so he did a good job to hold on and will actually kick away and win late. Tank Attack was an interesting runner. He loomed up like he was going to win 350 metres out, and then it became very awkward for Brad Rewilla. This galloper wanted to lay in badly. I'd suggest that had he been able to ride him out, he would have really challenged the winner. So he's a 2-year-old with a few issues. He got held up badly on debut, and then we've seen him lay in on Saturday. Once the penny drops with him, I think he's going to be a really good horse. The mounting yard assessor I used said Celestial King probably paraded a run short, so his effort to run third, he could be a horse who could really springboard off this. And That Song, who ran second for David Hayes, Ben Hayes and Tom Dabney, he did a good job late. I think he needs further than 1,100 metres. So it was just an average time overall. They went hard early and really compounded late, aided by that wind. But Rock Hard has won 3 from 3, and that's all you can do. He'll now be spelled for the spring, Nadia.
Exactly. Look forward to seeing how he comes back. Look, we go to race two. This was a mare's race over 1,100 metres. And as far as the betting was concerned, it was a very deep race with a lot of chances.
It was. The big move really was Run Gypsy Run. First up, $3.40 out to $6.50. She opened a clear favourite and lost favouritism as they headed to the stalls. Sullivan Bay, the toppy, was 11 into 7.50. The winner here, the chance, $7 out to 9. And Joe Castor was $11 into 8. It was a very open market, Nadia.
It was. Hear the chant. We know what this horse is capable of doing, but what did you make of the performance there on Saturday?
Look, it was a good win. The race was really run to suit. Sullivan Bay and Another Diamond led. They didn't lead at overly hard fractions for this type of horse. Hear the chant just settled in behind them, and one had a perfect run. She had a range of gear changes, so a really good training effort there from Hayes and Dominic to get this mare back in form after a couple of inauspicious performances. Jocasta, who was well backed, look, she ran the best last 800, 600, 400 and 200 metre splits of the day, and she still wasn't able to trouble those leaders, so that just shows how easy a time of it they had in front. That is this horse. She gets back, runs on. She's going to win a race at some point in time, but she just needs too much to go right. And the same's probably the case for World of Hope, who I gave a chance to. She didn't have much luck in behind them, but again, was just too far back to be troubling the leaders and winners. The one I want to follow is Run Gypsy Run. She paraded like she needed the run. The market certainly said she'd need the run. She trialled like she'd need the run, and she's done extremely well to get as close as she did. So I'd expect her to springboard off this third placing on Saturday and perform well next start.
All right, so that's a look at race two. The third race was a 1,600-metre open where Kenjawood ended up starting favourite.
Yeah, Kenjawood was very well back leading up to the day. Started favourite, as you say, was pretty steady once the betting got serious. The winner, Riyadh, was well backed, $15 into eight, and there was a little bit of money for Jack and Obey. By this stage, a couple of on-pace horses had won, so the betting really centred around a few of those on-pace runners like Jack and Obey and Bell Burgess, but the winner, Riyadh, also had its fair share of admirers.
It did. Look, it ended up starting around the $9 mark. What did you think of the tempo of this race?
Look, Bell Burgess and Dylan's son, well, particularly Bell Burgess, is a horse who can go a lot quicker than he did on Saturday. It was a pretty moderate tempo that they set. You could see Riyadh just trucked up right behind them as they came around the home bend. He was bolting, and he just had the superior turn of foot. I think it was a pretty average race. Kenjawood hasn't turned up here. He ran enormous at Warrnambool over 1,400 metres up on speed. It was a brutal tempo that he was sitting outside there. That might have flattened him, or he's just completely regressed because he hasn't run anywhere near those numbers. And as soon as he didn't, the race was weakened. My Paisan had every chance, ran fourth. But yeah, I think it was not really a race that I could take too much out of going forward, but a really nice turn of foot from Riyadh. And again, another good training performance from Peter Healy, because this horse didn't run overly well last start, and he took him back to the trials on Monday and backed him up quickly to win on Saturday.
We go to race four, three-year-old fillies race, a 78 over the 1440. Platinum Angel ended up starting favourite.
Yeah, and she was truckloaded. She was 320 into 270, and one of a few very well-backed favourites that the punters got right on Saturday. The other one in the market was Honey Esprit, $3.20 out to $4, and frankly, there wasn't a huge amount of interest outside of those two runners.
What did you think of the winner?
Yeah, look, it was a brilliant ride by Ethan Brown. He drew a wide barrier on this filly. He realised pretty quickly after the start that he was going to be trapped three wide, and rather than trying to tug her back towards the tail of the field to get cover, he just took his medicine. He sat out there, and what happened here is La Tesora and Mahalani went very quickly early before slowing the tempo as they came to the home bend. Ethan Brown was in that three wide line on Platinum Angel, able to quickly make ground around the field, and if he had been buried away with cover in behind horses, he wouldn't have had that advantage. So the race panned out perfectly for Platinum Angel. She still put them away extremely well. I think the win was a touch flattered by the way the race was run, that slow down before the home bend off what was a very fast tempo early. But she came off very good form in Adelaide, of course, and she can continue winning. I thought the run of Honey Esprit to run second was super. Had to work up on that tempo and wasn't suited when they sort of slowed the tempo coming around the home bend. Quietly Angry paraded extremely well on Saturday, ran third at big odds, I think is a horse who can be followed going forward. The two leaders here, Mahalani and La Tesora, both finished last and second last after overdoing it up on speed.
So that's a look at race number four. To the fifth race now. This was over 1,440 metres. The eventual winner in Jaws of Steel was one of the fancies in betting. Maximus ended up jumping favourite.
Jaws of Steel, probably the best-backed runner, was $4.40 into $4 late. Maximus, the other one who attracted support, $3.70 into $3.20. Those two really dominated betting. Silvera was first up, was $6 out to $10. And the other big drifter was Overstep, $4.80 out to $8.50, who eventually finished second.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about this race. Jaws of Steel was the winner, and what did you make of the performance throughout?
Yeah, it was a good win. Darren Weir's only had this galloper for three starts. He was good at terrain first up in what's proven a very good run race. Sorry, he was good at Warrnambool and again has progressed here to 1,440 metres. Had the perfect run in transit, but won well. Overstep was good running second. The horse I'm really keen to follow out of this race is Silvera. He drew the inside, which wasn't a spoil for him first up. He got buried away at the tail of the field and just the gaps closed on him the last 100 metres when he was starting to make good ground. So he was beaten less than a length, I think second up 1,600 metres. He had trialled well going into this. I think he's the horse to follow out of the race. Maximus, I just wonder if maybe he peaked on his run the last 100 metres. He's a horse who's been very effective over 1,200 metres. Maybe the 1,440, that last little bit just found him out late. But Silvera is the one I want to follow. Jaws of Steel can probably keep winning for the Weir stable now that he's got him into a winning pattern and no doubt has a few more runs this campaign in him.
Okay, so that's a look at that race. Race number six, 1,200 metre three-year-old event. Well, we had Exaltara, the winner, who ended up starting at double-figure odds, but it was a race where there were quite a few chances.
Yeah, there certainly were. There was no big betting moves. Boom Chicka Boom was $11 into $8. Exaltara was steady around the $17 mark. Sun Quan jumped $3.80 favourite, but there was no big support there. Written Choice was firm in the market at $4.20, and Bell Sonic attracted some support, being $15 into $10 prior to race day, but was pretty steady as the event approached, Nadia.
And Exaltara was able to win, as I mentioned, a big price, the end up SP.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a really interesting case. Exaltara Leicester, who won the Derby in SA, and Sorpresa, who won the Oaks last week in Adelaide. These three went around in a Terang Maiden back on the 31st of January and ran the first three in that race, which just shows you that if you follow a strong maiden race or a strong race in the country, you can really find winners in town going forward. And it was no fluke because they ran very good time there at Terang. But what they've done here, from my perspective, is Sun Quan's overdone it again up in front just slightly. I thought his effort to hang on and run third right up against the fence, which was a lane that horses didn't perform well in on Saturday. You sort of needed to be at least four off the fence, out to eight off the fence to be in the right lanes. He's done a good job to run third again. Exaltara's finished over the top of them. Good win off a couple of nice runs at Pakenham. Bell Sonic is certainly a horse to follow going forward because he paraded quite fat in the yard. I listened to Jason Warren on Saturday suggest that had he been able to find a 1,000 or an 1,100 metre race for this horse, he would have preferred to kick over that off over that slightly shorter trip. And he just gassed the last 200 metres. He ran a significantly slower time from the 200 to the winning post that he did from the 400 to the 200. So he'll strip a lot better second up. If he parades well second up, he's the horse I want to be on next start. And I think Sun Quan, if he can just be slightly better rated out in front, he's absolutely flying and he too can win a race going forward.
On their way to the boxes at Ballarat for the first, and the favourite there, number three, Yasara Allen, 230 with tab fixed odds. We'll look at race seven. This was an 84 over 1,100 metres. The betting here, well, we had two horses pretty much vying for favouritism in Innkeeper and also Wise Hero.
Yeah, Innkeeper was smashed throughout the day. Was $4.80 into $2.80 prior to a couple of late scratchings. One because Gibbon was the wrong horse was taken to the track by the Wendy Kelly stable with Gibbon, forced to be a late scratching there. But Innkeeper was the story of the betting here, smashed throughout race day.
And what did you think of the win?
Look, he just kept progressing well from his win at Warrnambool. The two best form references came from Warrnambool in the first two horses over the line, Innkeeper and Murphy's Reward. Lovely ride by Linda Meach here, just to stick three wide outside the speed. She clearly identified that that was where the best going was on the track, and Innkeeper will keep winning races. Murphy's Reward ran very well in the Wongoom. He paraded extremely well on Saturday, and he loomed up to win, just found the winner a bit strong. Wise Hero back in third. He was a drifter late in betting. I think he will gain a lot of benefit for that outing. He just gassed out in the straight. He was first up, so I think he'll improve second up. And Lord Durante was very good first up over an unsuitable trip, ran good late sectionals, and I think he's a horse we can probably follow third up once he gets to a mile. That was a good return by Lord Durante.
It was. We've got about 30 seconds before they go at Ballarat. What we'll do is just go through the betting here of the eighth race, which was a three-year-old 2,000-metre event. Lucky for all, the winner was well in the market, obviously, but Stablemate Furion was all the rage at even money.
Yeah, Furion was. He was very well backed in the lead-up to race day. He ended up jumping $2, which was a move from about $1.75 out to $2 once betting got serious. Lucky for All was probably the best backed runner late, $6 into $4.40, and there was a bit of money for Okotox, $12 into $9.50.
Ballarat. We are with Matt Welsh from the Trial Files. Let's have a look at this eighth race for the three-year-olds, because we're obviously focusing on this bit of an event heading towards Brisbane and the Carnival with the Derby there, with the big boom on Furion. The stablemate Lucky for All was probably equally as impressive in its performance, even though it wanted to run in, Matt.
Yeah, I thought it was more impressive, Nadia. We can probably deal with race 8 and race 9 together because they were both 2,000-metre races, and I think comparing these two races is a great guide going forward. Lucky for All's actually run about 19 lengths quicker than our Peaky Blinders, who took out the last race by some 4 lengths. They set up a really fast tempo here in race 8. They went out very quickly for the first 800 metres. It was a true staying test, a brutal battle. And you could see Lucky for All coming around the home bend. He was just bolting. He endured that pressure without any issue. And I just love the way he quickened late. As you say, he wanted to run in a bit over the final 100, 150 metres. So he still has a bit of improvement to come, which is pretty scary heading towards the Queensland Derby. I think he's clearly the horse to follow out of the race. I thought Furion held up a little bit coming towards the home bend, but just no match for his stablemate. He might need a spell now and obviously has improvement to come being lightly raced. Mohammed Ayas did a really good job from the back of the field. The race was run to suit him, but again, another good run, and he'd had a little setback. So that was a good training performance by Nick Ryan to get its campaign back on track. And just in behind them, I thought Von Mystique looked like he was going to run near enough last coming around the home bend. I think this is a horse who's looking for a bit further now. Did an okay job to get home into six. Was beaten 14.6 lengths. But as I say, when we compare the speed of race 8 to race 9, it was just an absolutely brutal race. And the gap between Mohammed Ayas in third and Inspirante in fourth here in race 8 was 9 lengths. So really good form race going forward. I'll just touch on the last as well. Our Peaky Blinders was very well back there. As I said, slow tempo. They slowed coming to the 800-metre mark here. They almost stopped to a walk. Linda Meach was just out and rolling out 4 and 5 wide out in that better part of the track. So reasonable win by our Peaky Blinders. I'd just be quite wary of taking short odds next time, given how the race was run.
Who do you think are the horses to follow from the program?
The horses to follow for mine going forward are... excuse me, Nadia, I'll just get the right page. Apologies, Nadia.
No dramas.
Run Gypsy Run, I think, from race 2 we can follow. I think she clearly needed the run. She'll really springboard second up. I think Silvera out of race 5, another one who was first up, can be followed. Race 6, Bell Sonic and Sun Quan for the reasons outlined. I think Lord Durante, probably not second up, but third up, we can certainly follow with some confidence, Nadia.
Okay, and was there anything that caught your eye during the week?
Yeah, there's been a few, particularly Wangaratta last Monday. Some very nice maiden winners. Darren Weir unearthed a very smart two-year-old grey chestnut filly in Anjana, who won race 1. She sat 5 wide throughout. She produced the best last 600, 400 and 200 of any of the winners on the day. So very smart filly, Anjana. I think she can go to town. Out of race 2 on the same day, St. Paul's Bay for the Ledger Stable. He's had a throat operation and he ran 21.3 seconds from the 800 to the 400. He gassed a touch the last 200 but won with ease. And he's another one who's always shown some talent. That throat operation has clearly worked. From Sunday last week, I thought there was a good win by I'm Too Hot at Pakenham. He got within half a second of the El Sicario's track record there. That was a good win set up on speed by Al Lucas. So I think we can follow I'm Too Hot. And one from Cranbourne Friday, a horse called Hawkstone, a four-year-old gelding. He went out 60-1 in betting, but I don't think this win was any fluke. He led, he ran time, and he beat a horse who'd shown good form in 6 Sigma from the Kent Yard. So Hawkstone, one I think we can follow as well, Nadia.
To look at those. What about today? Can we make some money out of the program at Hamilton?
I haven't had a huge look at Hamilton. I've had a quick look at Wednesday. I think there's a couple of horses punters should look out for when markets come up. Race 1, number 2, Duality, a gelding who ran very well on debut at Geelong. trained by Gay Waterhouse. Drawn out, but there's a long run into the first bend there, and he should be able to put himself up on speed. Race 2, number 10, Sweet Rockette, trained by Michelle Payne, and she's down to ride. This filly trialled brilliantly at Cranbourne side. Keep an eye on her in early markets. And also race 5, number 2, 50 Stars, who was very impressive for the Weir Yard over the Warrnambool Carnival. This is a really nice horse going forward. So there's a few for Wednesday when markets come out.
Okay, so that's a look at the meeting on Wednesday, just to keep an eye on those prices. Thanks, Matt. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Nadia.